Privilege today to get to go eat with that sister.
Amen.
Her good husband. It was a blessing to be around them.
Yep.
Blessing to be around real people of the Lord.
Right, brother.
Thank God I can feel something when she's a singing.
Amen. Me too.
And it's not because she's waving her hands either. I could be blind.
Right.
I could be blind and hear that right there and feel something off of it.
Amen.
Thank the Lord for His realness.
Yeah.
The Holy Ghost. Bearing witness with my spirit. Sit back there and just hear people glorify God and lift Him up, lift the Son of God up, and it just really does my heart good.
Amen.
I'll be honest with you, there's nothing that gets my attention no more than hearing the name of Jesus.
Right, brother.
There's just something in me that He quickened and made alive that when I hear that name Jesus, that makes me stop doing whatever I'm doing. It flutters my heart. I remember whenever I first got with my wife and we'd go on a date, my heart would get fluttery. You say, why will it do that? Because I was going to meet the one whom I love. Thank God that one that I love on the inside, when I hear his name, I know it. I know it. It's not just a name to me. The Bible says the very name of Jesus is a gift. It says there is no other name given. A gift is given. There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. In other words, it's by that name Jesus, by that man named Jesus, the one sent from God, the Son of God. That's how you get saved. I agree with you, Pastor. There's so many people made this thing so complicated. I was preaching in Kentucky, and the Lord had assured me that before that meeting was over, that he was going to save somebody. And I knew he was. He told me he was, and I believed he was. Well, the last night of that meeting passed, and nobody got saved. And this preacher's wife and the preacher was on their way back home, and he called me. It was about 11 o'clock that night. I was on my way home. I had a long drive. And he said, my wife's tore up, and she needs to talk to you. I said, well, put her on speaker. I've got my wife here with me. And we put her on speaker, and she told me, she said, I'm just so lost. She said, I've said all these years that I'm saved, and she said, but I'm just so lost. She said, I don't know God. And she said, and I want to be saved. Yeah. She said, because I see that I'm a sinner. Yeah. And she said, but I can't get saved. I said, how come? According to the Bible, you can. According to what the Lord said, you can.
Yep.
He's drawing you and working with you, and it sounds like he is. You're pretty tore up. I said, you can get saved. I said, listen, Mallory, I said, if you can throw away everything that man's taught you, and if you can believe what Jesus said, I said, you can be saved. And I said, and you'll find out it's not that complicated. Well, simultaneously, at the same time, me, my wife, and her husband, and her went to shouting. I was going down the road, had her on speaker, went to shouting at the same time. I think I shouted for 15 minutes driving down the road, and she was a shouting. And when I come to myself, she was a saying, I can't believe it's that easy. She said, I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved. So thank God, it's pretty easy. All the work's already been done, praise God. He draws you, he touches you, he shows you you're a sinner. That's saving ground, brother. That's saving ground, sister. I mean, you can get saved in a heartbeat. It's not that hard. God did not put salvation so high that man cannot reach it. Matter of fact, he brought it down so low that fallen man can reach it. He put it high, us fallen people that was low as the dirt, we couldn't ever get it. See, that's where I'm going to tell you, every sinner that's ever got saved was at the bottom. That's where you get saved at. Through with self, through with sin, through with everything. Amen. Wanting something different. And the Lord will fill you full. He'll fill you full. And I got saved 16 years ago, and I still cannot comprehend everything I got when I got saved. I was preaching the other night here, and I told you it's just like a little baby learning to walk and crawl and finding these things and being so obsessed with them and just so amazed that I had found such as something like that. And it's like the Lord, he said, just play around with it a while. Figure out a little bit about it. Let me enjoy it a little bit. And then let me find other things. It's just a real blessing to know the Lord. Well, we left off the other night, Sunday night, and I do appreciate the message last night. I'd agree with that. I think the Lord would have us all to go further.
Yes, sir.
Preacher said something last night that really stood out to me. He said that we are living below the things that the Lord has for us.
That's right.
And I, you know, that's been in my heart for quite some time, that God's people, a lot of them's living in poverty when they have riches. I'd just leave that poverty stuff alone. I'd just go on with the Lord.
Amen.
Let him show me some of them riches. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So we left off the other night in the book of Genesis talking about how mainly we focused on how man in verse number 7 clothed themselves because they had been shown the knowledge that God had, that the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost had. They sinned, and by sinning, by eating of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they had knowledge then of what was right and what was wrong.
Yep.
And just giving you just a rerun, just in case you was not here, and I do want to refresh your memory on this. It's a very fundamental, that it's the fundamentals of this that we need to understand before you ever get saved. And so they seen that they were sinners, and the first thing that they tried to do when sin was revealed to them, they tried to go and hide from God and tried to cover themselves up because they realized that they were naked. And of course you do that, and I do that. We've all been guilty when we sin by nature. What the first thing we want to do is hide from the Lord. We don't want Him to see us. We want to try to clothe ourselves. We want to hide from Him. But it is the very opposite that God wants you to do. He wants you to admit that you've sinned, that you've messed up. And He wants you to come to Him and not try to hide anything, because He sees right through them fig leaves. And they'll never cover what God sees. I told you the other night that there's only one covering that God's pleased with. And that's the one that He clothes you in. That's the clothing of His righteous Son, Jesus Christ. And He clothes us in that, and then we have nothing to hide from. Amen. Although, I think Watchman Nee said it like this, and you may or may not like him. Don't make a difference to me. The Holy Ghost let me know He's all right. And so he said it like this. I wrote it down. He said, He doesn't remove sin, but the sinner.
Go ahead.
You think about that. He moves the sinner out of Christ. I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. And so He don't move the sin, He removes the sinner. Our old man was crucified with Him, and because of this, the body which before had been a vehicle of sin is now unemployed. Ain't got a job no more. Then He went on and said, sin, the old master, is still about, but the slave who served Him has been put to death. Isn't that good? He said that the gambler's hand is unemployed, the swearer's tongue is unemployed, and these members are now available to be used for instruments of righteousness for the Lord. So there's a lot of unemployment that went on whenever I got put in Christ. There's a lot of things that got put to a stop, that quit. I no longer wanted to do the things that I used to do. I was transformed by the renewing of my mind. I was put in Christ. I started loving different things. And then as time went on, and of course I'd still, every once in a while, I would look at my flesh and I'd say, man, what a sinner. But God would say, boy, look up here, and I'd say, man, what a Savior. Amen. That's what we need to be looking at. We need to be looking at Him. Every time you look at yourself, you come up short, you're ugly, you're dirty, you stink, and you're rotten. And you say, man, what a sinner. But if you'd look at Him tonight, you could say in one mind and one accord, man, what a Savior. My, what a Savior. I think about the woman with the issue of blood. She had that issue some 12 years. And I said it was an issue because it was an issue. Issue by definition is simply a problem that has not yet been resolved. So she had a problem that had not yet been resolved. We see she carried it to the people, to the doctors of the world, and they could do absolutely nothing about it. Matter of fact, they took all her money and they sent her home to do a little worse. She just got worse and worse and worse. 12 years she had dealt with this issue. But this issue, you see, it was an issue because by the law she had a blood issue, and so she could not touch anybody, because if she touched them, she'd make them unclean, and then she'd have to go through this process. They'd have to go through the process of getting back clean. And it was just a big ordeal. I want y'all listening to me tonight and follow me. I'm just trying to obey the Lord. We'll go further when the Lord says go further. But she could not. So if she had children, we don't know. The Bible don't say if she had children. It don't say she had a husband. It don't even say if her mom and dad was still living. But if she had children, I want you to realize, just like this brother's holding, I guess that's your son. He's holding his son. She couldn't do that.
That's right.
She couldn't do that.
Nope.
If she had children, she couldn't. Now, I'm telling you something. Sometimes my kids, especially when they mess up and they realize that they done wrong, the first thing I want to do is pick them up, and I want to give them a big old hug, and I want to let them know that I'm there for them, and I understand that they fell and they're sorrowful for it, and it was all right, and we need to go on. Well, if this woman had kids and they'd do something like that, or they had a bad dream and come in there to mama, she could not touch them. She was isolated even from her own family. You see, this was a big problem. It was an issue of blood. And she could, if she had a husband, she couldn't touch her husband. She couldn't hug her husband. She couldn't. Listen, sometimes, I don't know about you, but a good warm handshake and a good warm hug does me good.
Right.
This woman couldn't even have that. Now, in 12 years, if you think about your own life, how many loved ones have you lost in the last 12 years?
Go ahead.
You know this woman had death in her family, and when everybody else is being comforted by hugs and love, she had to stand isolated from everybody else because she had an issue that made her an issue.
Right.
Yeah, man.
She couldn't even go pray.
That's right.
I mean, it was a bad issue.
Yeah, brother.
But the Bible says that she said within herself that if I can just touch the hem of this man Jesus, I can be made whole. And that then she had a dilemma that we see here. She had a dilemma because no doubt, you know how the devil is. He'll work with you, sinner. I mean, when you sit there and you say, I really know I need to get saved, he'll give you 10,000 excuses why you don't need to get saved, why you don't need to get born again. And so no doubt that it was being told to her, if you touch that man, you'll make him unclean. Everybody will be mad at you. He's a busy man going from place to place. Sure, there's people that hate him, but there's a lot of people that love him. And if you touch him and make him unclean and make him go isolate himself, there'll be people to hate you and not like you. But she said within herself, I've got to touch him, come hell or high water. If the whole world turns against me, I've got to touch this man, Jesus. I've had it up to here. And maybe they told her as she was going on her journey to touch him. Maybe some of them said, ma'am, you need to stop. We know who you are. You're that woman that shouldn't even be out of your house. You don't need to go touch him. You just need to stay right where you're at. And I can imagine her looking at them and saying, you don't understand how much I put up with. I've had it up to here with religion. I've tried to hide myself under the fig leaves. I've tried to clothe my own self in my own righteousness. I've tried to go to the doctors and pay them to take care of my problem. And my problem only got bigger. But I've heard this man, Jesus, he's just got back from an island and he healed a demoniac, thank God, who was cutting himself, running around naked, and that man was clothed sitting in his right mind, and I'm going to touch him. I'm going to touch him. And so she set out to touch Jesus. And as she was walking, all the thoughts, no doubt, that was coming through her mind. And then here's the big moment. It's all building up. It's all building up. These thoughts are running through her mind. What could happen if she touches him? What if he rejects her? What if he makes him unclean? But she goes on anyways, and she just touches him real quick. And by the way, I read my Bible right. When she did, she backed up a good ways. But it was not far enough that she couldn't hear what he said. And as soon as she done that, backed up, she heard the master say, who touched me? Panic immediately set into her heart. But then again, she knew she was made whole because she felt it. So at the same time, she was a little panicked. She was a shouting and jumping up and down. And I believe when he said, who touched me? She slid into him like home plate, thank God. And she said, it was me, it was me. Because the Bible said she told him all the truth. I think she got down there and she said, I'm the filthy sinner that touched you. I'm the unclean woman that touched you. And I thank God she realized that when she touched him, she didn't dirty him up not one bit, but she sure did get cleaned up herself, thank God. Hey, I'm telling you that if you can just touch him, he'll take care of your problem. He'll take care of your problems. She said, who touched me? The conversation went on with his disciples. They called him crazy. They said, Master, the multitude throngeth thee, and you ask who touched you. In other words, there's been many people to touch you, Lord. There's been many people to bump elbows with you, Lord. But he said, there's just this one. I'm glad the God of heaven. Woo! Woo! I don't know how many people 16 years ago touched God that morning. Thank God that I got saved. I don't know how many people at different church services, but I know one thing, down on his knees in Pisgah, Alabama, when
When this boy touched the Lord Jesus Christ, he knew exactly who it was that touched him. And as soon as I touched him, I knew exactly who it was that I had touched. And that man forever changed my life, thank God. And now here I am standing before you. I'm clothed in his righteousness. Now I'll say this, you can't touch him without him touching you. You can't touch him without him touching you. Well, she didn't get called a nasty, unclean heifer, did she? That next verse I read, Jesus saying to her, she's being called daughter.
That's right.
What about that? What about in an instant like that, as soon as you, hey, sinner, listen here. What about in that instant that you touch him, and the next thing you know, just exactly, just that quick right there, you got exactly what I got. You got exactly what these other saints of God got. Just like that right there, you're being called a daughter. You're being called a son. Just like that.
Amen. Thank God, brother.
No more worrying about going to hell. No more worried about it. Left off in them trying to clothe themselves. I just want to read something here and then we'll go from there. I guess that was just an introduction. That wouldn't even. I do want to read this in Romans chapter 8 just to give you just a little bit more deeper of a context about what the law and sin is. Romans chapter 8, if you find your place and willing to stand, would read the Word of God together. I want to be mindful of the Holy Ghost tonight.
Yes, sir, Lord. Amen.
Romans chapter number 8. You know what? A preachers know what I'm talking about when I say this. You stand up here and the Lord will help you, and then you feel like you need to go on and read what you was going to read, and he'll say, well, you done took up much time. Here's what I say to that. A real child of God, they love preaching.
That's right.
If the Spirit of God's in it, you'll love it. I promise you, if the Spirit of God ain't, I'm going to take my seat.
Right.
I'm a backward, shy person by nature. I don't want to be up here unless the Lord's helping me. Real Christians eat up preaching. Well, it ain't been it's sheep food.
Right.
You throw out food and that sheep that don't come to eat, he's been grazing on something else.
Right.
Not what the master gives him. Romans chapter number 8, we'll look at verse number 1. There's therefore now.
Amen.
I'm not waiting until I get there. Woo! Right now as I stand before you. Absolutely no condemnation.
Amen. Thank God.
That may not mean much to you, but if you knew what I knew about me, to read that and say there's therefore now no condemnation. Absolutely none. Zero, brother. Zero. There's therefore right now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemn sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Let me stop right there and say this. I would hope that you understand this, but in case you don't, what that verse right there means is this. They that are in the flesh, you can raise your hand tonight.
Go ahead, brother.
Every one of us has a flesh. This will really help you if you'll get it. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. And so I'm telling you that sitting on the church pews and been born again, you cannot please God.
Yep. Come on, preach it.
They that are in the flesh cannot please God. So that's a problem.
Yeah, that's right.
But I'm glad it don't stop there.
That's right.
Remember when he said, when he talked about redeeming us, not with corruptible things as silver and gold, but by the precious blood of the Lamb? Seems pretty helpless if they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Every one of us has got the flesh. Every one of us is in the flesh.
Right.
When God saved you, friend, he didn't save your flesh.
No,
that's why it's still a problem.
Right.
That's why it's still an enemy. Yeah. Thank God he saved the spirit. But you're not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his, period.
Right. Right.
Period.
Period.
Not comma, but... I go to church. No. No. Look what the Bible says right here. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you.
Right.
Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, we may be also glorified together. You may be seated. Thank you for standing.
Go ahead, preacher.
It starts off talking about the law of the Spirit. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. That simply, it is a law we see back in Genesis where we left off the other night. That God told them, said, you can eat of every tree of the garden, but there's just this one tree that you cannot eat of, because if you do, you'll become like us and know good and evil. We know that they eat of that tree. They were naked. They seen they were naked. They tried to clothe themselves. We see just a few verses later after that, that God killed an animal somewhere and he clothed them with those animal skins. And so God made a sacrifice for them. Thank God for that. He killed the animal, and later on, he always had the son that would come. Jesus Christ was not created. Jesus Christ was always there, even in the book of Genesis. And you say, what was his job then? He was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. That's what he was. That was his job the whole time. The lamb slain before the foundation of the earth. So we see the creator, the creation turned against the creator, but then we see the creator give his life for the creation. Because he loved man whom he had created. And so when man turned against him, God could have easily said, "Fooey on man, Brother Savage." But he didn't. He said, "No, I'm not letting you go that easy, because I love you. It is the goodness of God that leads to repentance." I told a brother the other day, Brother Sexton, I said, "Listen, I said, really, if you got church members, or not church members, but if you got sinners and people that ain't doing right, I said, you really ain't got to preach on them things much that they're doing. If you'll just preach Christ to them good enough, thank God, that'll take care of them, because it's the goodness of God that leadeth man to repentance." I mean, you preach just how good God's been to you, and you think just how God's been good to you, church member. I mean, listen, you may be cold and indifferent with the Lord, but you just think how good God's been to you and how he's done you nothing but good. And like the pastor said Sunday morning, those wagon loads after wagon loads, thank God, I'm telling you, he's been extra good to us. And then to put the big old cherry on the top, send his son to forever redeem you. You can't get it no better than that. If that don't make you want to live for him, you're still dead in trespasses and sin. Still dead in trespass and sin. So we then have a law that was put into place. You know, the Mosaic law, the over 600 and something laws that was put into place that man was supposed to keep.
Yep.
Now listen to me. Here's what I want to get to. Just slow down a little bit, and I want you to understand this. The law, there's nothing wrong with the law.
Right.
Bible says the law is perfect in converting the soul.
Yep.
You say, well, why ain't there nothing wrong with the law? Because the law is of God.
Yep. Right.
It's not just the law, friend. It's God's law.
That's right.
It's not just law. It's God's law. It's not law that man made up. It's God's law.
Hey.
Now, here's the problem that I have with the law. Everybody listen? Here's the problem that I have with the law. I can't live up to it. That's my problem with the law. Because it's of God. And it's too holy, Brother Savage, for me to live up to. And so I find that I fall under the law. I fall guilty of breaking God's law.
That's right.
That's it. I fall guilty of breaking God's law. And if you're in here tonight and you've got breath, you're guilty of breaking the law of God. There's nothing wrong with the law, but there is something wrong with you. We are transgressors of the law. God gave the law as the standard to man, and man could not live up to it. You said, why would he do that? He didn't know anything else. He's a holy, holy, holy God. That's what them cherubims in Revelation, listen, they got them six wings. Some of them covering their legs, some of them covering their eyes because they can't look upon him, and they're shouting to one another. I can imagine flying in the air shouting at one another with their eyes closed. The main attribute of God, holy, 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 holy. I told you the other night, we can't understand just how holy God is and how much holiness God demands out of you and how God demands perfection out of you. And the problem with that is mankind in his flesh cannot produce perfection, and so that puts us in a damnable place.
That's right.
A bad place. But Jesus Christ came and he fulfilled every bit of it. He didn't come to do away with it, but he came to fulfill it for me and you because he knew we cannot do it. And what the law could not do, and that it was weak, thank God. Christ Jesus came, thank God, and he did it for us. In other words, the law could never save. It could only condemn. But that one man, Jesus, thank God, he came not to condemn. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the whole world might be saved. Why didn't he come to condemn? Because he that believeth not is condemned already. And friend, you know as well as I do that law is constantly condemning us. Condemn, boy. Condemn. Condemn. And if you look at it, you'll start saying along with it, condemn. Condemn, condemn.
Hey,
but if you'll listen to that other voice,
if
you'll listen to that, woo, if you'll listen to that other voice, he's saying, save, save, save. Sanctified, sanctified, sanctified. Shaped in my image, shaped in my image, shaped in my image. And before you know it, you'll go to saying with it, shaped in your image, shaped in your image. Thank God.
Good.
And so one of the scriptures gives us a view of what the law is like. And it says this, that the law is like a man who married a woman. He's bound to that woman by the law. And there is no way that he can get free from that law lest a death occurs. Everybody listen? And he's free from that law. And free to marry another.
Sure. Right.
Well, here's the thing. The law ain't going to die. It's God's law.
Right.
And it's perfect.
Yep.
It don't need to die. There's nothing wrong with it. We the ones that need to die. So how's that happen? If we're bound to the law so as long as it lives and we live, there's got to be a death somewhere.
Yep.
And so when we get born again, there's a death occurs. There's a death occurs. And then it's made us free. We die. The law does not die. We die. And when we die, we've been made free from that. And so it don't have a right by the law. Now I'm talking judicially.
Good preacher.
I'm talking judicially. It don't have a right judicially to accuse you anymore.
No, sir.
Is that not right?
That's right.
I mean, it has no good grounds to stand on and say you're 1% guilty.
That's right.
It has no grounds to stand on and say you're 0.5% guilty.
Thank God.
It has no law judicially. It cannot rightfully condemn you because you're in Christ and Christ. Listen, Christ is in his Father. I'm in Christ. I'm double secured. There's therefore now no condemnation. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm saying tonight I'm free as a bird. I'm saying tonight I'm free as a bird. I don't have to listen. You know what Paul said to Peter, or Paul said about Peter? He said, I withstood him to his face.
Yeah.
You know why he had to withstand him to his face? Because he was trying to lay again the law upon those people who the Lord was trying to bring out from under that.
Right.
He was trying to say, you need to do this, boys. You need to do that. You need to do that. And then when those others come around, old Peter, he'd thank God, act like he didn't know them and didn't want to eat with them. Are y'all listening to me? I'm telling you, why ain't that just like a Pharisee? Speaking of Pharisees, let me say this about them.
Go ahead.
Let me say this about a Pharisee. You say, well, how do you know so much about them? I used to be one of them.
Me too. Yep.
I used to be one of them.
Me too.
And I want to tell you about these Pharisees. I want everybody to listen real good. And if this is you, friend, listen to me. Look up here. If this is you, there's space for you to repent. Let me tell you something about a Pharisee. They have no problem with righteousness,
right,
Brother Sexton.
Nope.
They don't have a problem with righteousness.
Nope.
Matter of fact, I'll tell you this, they glory in it.
Yes, sir.
They like it. But here's the problem. Here was their problem. There's this lowly man out of Galilee that was born named Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
And they couldn't get no dirt on this old fella.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, if we had time tonight, we could go back and preach on all the accusations that they had with Jesus, and they wasn't none of them bad. And the ones that was bad, he wasn't guilty of them.
Right.
It was falsely put on him.
Right.
And so that's why they hated him. Listen to me. Everybody look up here. They hated him because they was not like him.
That's right. That's right.
What moved them to kill Christ is not because they hated righteousness, people.
No.
I've heard a lot of people say that. They loved righteousness. But here's the thing. They liked their own righteousness.
That's right.
They didn't care nothing about his. Why? Because that didn't shine a spotlight on them.
That's right.
I like it pretty good, don't you?
Me too.
That didn't shine a spotlight on them.
Yeah.
That took the spotlight off them and put it on him, and they did not like that. And they'll say, we'll just do away with this feller.
Right.
There's a problem with that. Where we left off in the book of Genesis, chapter number 3 right there, I stopped 2 verses short of the last of all of it. And if we go back and look at them 2 verses, we'll not turn there for sake of time. But if we go back there, we'd see that those same cherubims that we talked about, that the Lord put them there in that garden to guard the way of the tree of life.
Yes.
In other words, the tree of life did not die. It was still there, and God put cherubims there to guard the way of the tree of life. Because later on, out of the stem of Jesse, God was going to take that seed from the tree of life. He was going to implant it into Mary. And 9 months later, a little sprout would come up out of Mary. Thank God. I'm telling you, and it'd grow, and it'd grow, and it'd grow. And thank God when we couldn't get to the tree of life because it was guarded by angels, the tree of life came to where we was. Thank God. Amen. And said, you here, Dad, come and eat, come and eat, come and eat, come and eat. It's all accessible. Whosoever will come take you by it, thank God. Tree of life wasn't done away with. It was being guarded. The way to the tree of life was being guarded. And it would soon come to where mankind was. See, the problem with the tree of life was why he had to move them out, because they could have eaten of that and it had the power to give them eternal life.
Yep.
Can you tell me anywhere else, brethren and sisters, where eternal life's found?
Go ahead.
Only one place. That's Jesus Christ.
Hey.
That's the top of Christ, that tree of life.
Yes, sir.
And that way was being kept, and one day would come, and he did, and I praise God he did.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying it. I'm sitting under it, and I've got my hands like this, and he's dropping juicy fruit off to me all the time. I get my belly full every day. Listen, I've got as much. You say, how much you got? As much as I can eat. Thank God, plus more. And I'm sit there and I just eat and I eat and I eat. You say, well, what about I thought after they sinned and he gave them that, he told them that man's going to have to work sweater brow. Yeah, but listen to me. Thank God. These people said, I wish I knew what it was like before sin ever came. And I said, I do.
Right.
That's exactly where I'm living. God washed away all my sins, thank God. I've been put in Christ Jesus, and now I'm sitting there. I ain't having to work for my food, thank God. Y'all listen to me. This is pretty good if you can get a hold of it. I ain't having to work for my food. I'm simply sitting under the tree of life, and he gives me fruits, thank God, just falls off right in my hand, and I ain't got to go out and till the ground for them, and I get to eat and eat and eat and eat and eat. Brother Vic, I've enjoyed it pretty good. I've never eaten nothing like it.
Right. Good preaching.
Never eat nothing like it.
Me either.
They didn't have a problem with righteousness. They loved righteousness. The problem was they killed that man because he was more righteous than they. Little did they know this fact, that he was wanting to make them just like him.
Right. That's right, preacher.
He was wanting to make them perfect and holy. He was wanting to put them in him. But a lot of them still wouldn't have it because it wouldn't be them that was doing it. Friend, I'm saying to you tonight, listen, the law demands perfection that sinful fallen man cannot produce. And the law is about like this, if you'll have it this way. The law is about like a man who marries that wife. And he tells that wife, when I get home from work, It'd be like me. I don't do this, thank God. But it'd be like me. My wife, I tell people, she works a lot harder than I do. Raising them kids. And tending to them while I'm off studying, tending to them. And it's just a great blessing. I thank God for my wife. I appreciate her, and I try to let her know that every time I can. I'm not embarrassed to stand before you and tell you either.
Right, brother. Thank God.
But it would be like me when my wife with all them kids telling her, hey, when I get home, this house better be spotless. All the dishes better be washed. The carpet better be vacuumed. And the floors need to be mopped. And all the kids need to be changed and fed and clothed. And this needs to be done. That needs to be done. And also, when you have time, you need to fix your hair. You need to do this. And Brother Kevin, what I would do to her is I would put so much on her that she could not live up to what I wanted her to live up to.
That's right.
And that's exactly what the law does. I'm about through. It's exactly what it just puts so much on you that you can't live up to it. You can't possibly do it. And before you know it, when all that weight gets on you and all that, and you realize and you say and you succumb to it and you say, there's no way in the world that I can live up to this. And friend, the law eventually will work you to death.
That's right.
It'll work you to death. And then you find this, that no matter what you do, you can't make yourself right. You can't make yourself perfect. You just can't do it. And then right the moment when you realize that, he don't leave you hanging, brother. You see Christ crucified. And at that moment, you can get put in Christ, and then you'll begin to realize that it's already been done. It's already been accomplished. We're just simply swimming around in what's already been done, what's already been bought for us. And so then what it does is it takes that pressure off of you to be anything. And then you realize that you're his workmanship created in Christ Jesus under good works. It's not you anymore. It's Christ in me. And that takes care of all that. It's been wonderful. It's been wonderful to share that with you tonight. I pray that you would take this to heart. I trust that the Lord done with it just exactly what he aimed to do with it. If something's been said tonight and you see that maybe you're guilty of being a Pharisee. I want to tell you something. I find a bunch of Pharisees in a lot of camp meetings I preach at.
Sure, brother.
In churches.
Yeah.
That's it. You know what, Pete? Let me finish this and I'm done. Pete,